Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach Thee in Thy throne tonight. We pray, dear Father, that You would help us, Lord, as we would just come to worship Thee in spirit and truth, and to talk about the things which are coming upon the earth tonight. We pray, knowing, Father, we are at the end time. Many of those things, Father, which Your prophets spoke of are coming to pass. We know that that automobile, which was the fifth vision, has been fulfilled. There's a town down in Florida someplace that has already been testing it for the last several years. We know that it doesn't have to be in every city to be fulfilled. We know it has to be just there. And so, Lord, we see the elections coming up. We know that You said there would be a woman who would be either president or vice president. She would be a wicked woman, a evil woman. And then shortly after she came to power, that You saw America totally destroyed. And we see there's earthquakes in diverse places. 40,000 people killed by the earthquake in China. 5 million people homeless, displaced. Their homes are crumbled. We find 100,000 people perishing in the great, not tornado, but the great hurricane over there in Indonesia. And we see, Father, the earth is rumbling, Lord, and there's wars and there's rumors of wars. There's pestilence. And we see mad cow disease is being diagnosed as Alzheimer's disease, and there could be as many as 45,000 people in the United States that have it and have perished from it. And so we see these things happening, Father, and it's all for the love of money. Men creating germ warfare, as Your prophet said, and it's all for the love of money. So, Lord, we ask that You would help us, Lord, to have our hearts right. We know that we're still in the spring. We believe that this could be the spring when the resurrection takes place. We're hoping so, Lord. We're believing, Father, that one of these days, very soon, we'll catch the voice of the resurrection, and we'll see the saints which have gone on, and we'll be part of that great gathering. So, Lord, we commit ourselves into Thy presence and Thy keeping, into Thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And if you'd remain standing. And we're going to read from Matthew 24, beginning at verse 3. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming, Thy parousia, and of the end of the world? So two things here. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. So deception will be one of the keynotes at the end time. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am anointed, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Hutu against Tutsi, you know, kingdom against kingdom. Tribe against tribe. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in many places, diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You may be seated. Well, there's 190 nations in the world. And I know that this website goes into 178 now of them, which means that we're very, very close. And perhaps it's already being preached, just not coming through our website, in those other 12 nations. So it seems like all things which have to happen have already begun. I believe with all my heart that we are at the beginnings of the squeeze. And as such, it'll only get worse. And so we need to, on a daily basis, be in communications with our Lord on a personal way. Now, I had some things I wanted to share with you. In Exodus 7, one of the plagues, beginning of verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon the people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantment, and brought frogs up upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let thee go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy house, and from the servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. It's interesting. I was listening to a program last night. And let me just continue. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And it's been more than several months ago, several years ago, I preached a message called The Hardening Process, and showed how that God is bringing things on the earth, trials and tribulations, but he's giving us a respite in between. And during the time of respite, the people's hearts are hardening. And just like metal, you know, if you heat the metal up, it becomes soft, pliable. But then if you quickly cool it, it becomes harder. And so in the heat treating process, to get a certain brittle, hardness, you have to do this several times, and to get the desired effect of the strength of the steel. And but if you do it too often, it becomes very, very, it's no longer malleable, it becomes very brittle, and it can break. And so what God is doing is he's actually breaking down the people by bringing these things on. There shall be, as we read in the book of Matthew, he said, nation shall rise against nation. These things have happened time and time again. We've had, there shall be wars and rumors of war. We had World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War. We had the Saudi war, the war in the desert over there, Desert Storm. We have the ongoing war with Afghanistan. We have the ongoing war in Baghdad. And so there's wars and rumors of wars, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines. And we're seeing the famines all over the world right now. We're seeing people starving. I've had probably at least five or six brothers from overseas write and say that their people are very hungry. All they're living on right now are like one or two different types of fruits. Mangoes, I think, whatever they can get from the trees. So, we're getting ready to send a big relief over there. But, these things are coming and they're popping up all over. And there shall be pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. And so we see these things happening, and yet we know that this is not the first time in history that these things have happened. We know that when Moses was told to, God had showed him by vision each of the plagues that came upon Egypt before they came. And when the plague of of the water turning into blood was pronounced, we know that the people were told to gather up vessels, borrow vessels from their neighbors, whatever they could, and place as much of the water they could into those vessels. So they had to store up the water because the river would be turned to blood. And all the vessels in Pharaoh's house and all the vessels of Egypt would be turned to blood. Only the vessels in Goshen would not be turned to blood. So we see that instance. We find in the days of Noah that Noah had to store up food for all these animals, not only for his family, but for all of these animals. They had to have enough food, enough hay, enough grass, enough whatever types of foods are needed for two of every kind of all the animals of the earth. And I have a quote here from Brother Branham where he talked about Noah from On the Wings of a Snow White Dove. He said, "Now we notice that after Noah floating up there, no doubt seasick from all that roaring and popping and the wrath of God and mashing and crushing and screams and so forth, then it began to quieten down. Nothing happened. Days passed, nothing happened. Perhaps the food supply for the animals and so forth running low, nothing happened. So he thought, a wonder I can't see out. The ark was so constructed where once you were in it, there was only one window in it, and it was right in the top. And you couldn't look sideways. You couldn't look no way but straight up. And that's the way the ark, Jesus Christ, is. You can't look at the next fellow. You can't look at nothing but Christ when you're in that ark. And because there's only one door, and he is the door. And we talked about that this morning, and you have to keep looking up, for he that will put his hand to the plow and even turn to look back is not worthy of the plowing." And so we should never be looking back. We should always be, and not so much looking forward, but you should be looking at the day in which you're living. But the only way you should be looking forward is when you have a vindicated promise of God or a warning, and you should look at that warning. And then you should be applying that to the day and the hour in which you live. So, now, Brother Branham, in Wisdom Versus Faith, he says, I remembered in a dream that I had here not long ago. In this dream, I was supposed to be storing up food in the tabernacle." See, here in this dream. Now, how many remembers it a few weeks ago having the dream? "I couldn't give you the interpretation of it, and it won't take me very long. I'll just tell you if you'd like to hear it now. So I went back in a little place where we'd been out at, a little place called Klondike, about 40 miles from civilization. One little store for the ranchers and things looked like it was at Klondike, and it turned out to be this tabernacle. And I was standing right here, and I was calling in great barrels of the prettiest food that I'd ever seen. Radishes looked like 3 foot long, and turnips and greens and potatoes and everything. And he said, store in plenty of it, see? And I was standing there just storing it in, and I woke up, and I couldn't understand it, and I thought that it was just a dream and went on. But Brother Woods and many of them, so here was the interpretation. And I had to wait, just like I've told you many times, things have to happen before you can, certain things to bring it in line. And so then Brother Branham said, let me see here if I've got this right. And Brother Branham said that the God gave him the interpretation that was to store up the food, which is spiritual food, in due season. Now, it's interesting to note, we have to be careful when we think about that this is just physical food. Not that he didn't say it wasn't anything other than physical food, but he had, Brother Branham had another dream, and in that dream there was a pile of manna, and there was a lot of birds that were picking at this, you know, the bread, the pile of bread. So we see that there was a stored up food there, and there was all this birds that were eating it, and he said that I went to the door, and he said I was met there by Mrs. Methodist, and Brother Branham. I don't remember fully the dream. I could, you know, do more research on it. But needless to say that the person that met him had the garment spotted and dirty, and Brother Branham said that God gave him the interpretation of that dream, and that was the tabernacle. So. And that Mrs. Methodist met him at the door. I can't say what is what on that, you know, but I know that the pastor there was a Methodist preacher. In fact, both the last two pastors were Methodist preachers at the time, and one of them still is, or had been Methodist preachers. But I'm not interpreting this dream for Brother Branham. I'm just saying that here was a place that had stored up food, and the people were oblivious to... having their garments spotless, and basically it wasn't such a clean place. And I don't mean to reflect against the tabernacle in that essence, because Brother Collins told some people I know that was fulfilled many years ago, and you know where he got that from I don't know. Whether that's for today I don't know, but I do know that if you have a lot of stored up food. It can also be detrimental to you because, number one, number one, you can get pretty fat, pretty lazy, if you know what I mean. There's people in this message have all the tapes. They've got the entire message, and look, they won't even come to church. There's no dedication. There's no hungering and thirsting for righteousness. This is what I'm talking about. So, you know, we must be very careful when we look at all these things. You know, I could give you more here, but let's just look at some other examples. We have Joseph stored up food for the time of tribulation that was to come upon the earth at that time. We had Paul and all the churches helped Jerusalem when they were starving. There was famine in the land during that time, during the Alpha. And Paul and the others that had abundance were able to help those that did not. I'm sure if we searched the scripture, we could find many other examples where, you know, there was to be food stored up for times of need. If you look at the story about Shamgar, he had stored up his family's food for the winter. And when the Philistine soldiers came in to take it all, and so that's when he slew them all. So, you know, we have many examples throughout the scripture, you know, of the need to store up foods. And so I just thought that tonight we would bring that to your attention, just to be focusing a little bit, because as far as things are happening, the scientist was on the radio last night. I heard him speaking about, he said there's 31,000 scientists now that have signed a petition in the United States saying that they do not believe in global warming. They believe it's a hoax. They believe it's something that the government has put on the people to try to get more taxes out of the people, that the United Nations is behind it because they want to tax the nations. They want to tax the businesses. They want to tax the people. To put more heavy tax burdens upon the people. And so in the paper that is being circulated among scientists in the United States, and they said almost every single major scientist now has signed this document saying that there's no physical evidence for global warming. If there's any evidence, there's a global cooling. The last 10 years since 98, there's been a cooling. And there's been record snowstorms in many places around the world, in places where they don't even get snow. They've had record snowstorms in China. You just look at all over the place. They're just having these things. And even in April, you know, you think April, my goodness, snow should be done. But, you know, I think they had, 24 inches or something like that in Minnesota. Was it last week or the week before?
2 weeks
ago, yeah. And so, you know, there's just a, we can say one thing that we know, that the earth is being shook. And, you know, so there's nothing we can really try to hold on to here. The other thing they mentioned was that there was just millions and millions of frogs all over. They came out from everywhere right before the earthquake happened. And they said that the land was just inundated with frogs where that land. And they said now what's happening is just yesterday, I guess it was, or the day before, they're starting to see an overabundance of frogs in California, near Bakersfield, California. So they're thinking perhaps, is this indicative of another great earthquake? And, I just have to go back to the scripture and see that that was one of the plagues. And, you know, it happened in Egypt. It didn't happen in Ethiopia. It didn't happen in Greece. It didn't happen in certain places, you know, other places around the world. It happened in Egypt. And so it only has to happen in one or two places for those plagues to be fulfilled. And if you all recall back when we spoke on the message years ago from it was a series on preparation. And we actually, in fact, I think it was actually in the Romans when we talked about the oncoming judgments, and that Brother Branham talked about. We know that there's coming plagues, and there's coming judgments. There's coming a Great Depression. But there's going to be no judgment for the elect, and so. All these things ought to tell us one thing: look up, for our redemption draws nigh. And that's, without getting more in detail into those judgments and stuff, we can do that maybe next Wednesday night. I'll have a little more time to get into that. But we do know that there's coming a great depression judgment, and we know that depression is not a good time. You know, in Daniel chapter 8, if you open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 8 and reading from verse 23... through 25. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, the king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through this policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And also 2 Thessalonians. And reading verses 3, chapter 2, and reading verses 3 to 13. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God shall sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in that time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And so who is letting? Well, that's the Holy Ghost. He's letting things happen. So only he who is now letting things happen will allow things to happen until he, the Holy Spirit, is taken out from the midst of humanity. And that's what that scripture says. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his parousia, even him whose parousia is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So at the time of God's parousia, there's a parousia of the wicked one. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing, because they received not the love for the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, my beloved brethren of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And so we see then that the deception is on its way. We turn back to Daniel again, and we read from chapter 11 this time, and verses 21 to 23. And his estate shall stand, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. So Brother Branham talked about that league being where the Pope, being the so-called vicar of Christ, which he's not no more a vicar of Christ than anything is. If there's any vicar of Christ, it would be a prophet of God standing in the place of God. As God said, Moses, you shall be God of the people. But we find then that this man claims to be the voice of God, which he's not the voice of God. He's the voice of Satan. And he comes to America, which he has come. He goes to the places of where the financial district is at, which is New York, where he went. He's received by the President of the United States the first time in history. And we don't know what went on in closed corners while he was here. But it does say that they shall make a pact. And we know that he came right after the Chase Morgan purchased out Stearns and Bear Stearns, yes. And we know that being the fifth largest, capital funding group in America, it's quite a serious thing that took place. But realizing that all these things are working together to fulfill Scripture, we realize that, things could have taken place. We know that they have the gold, and we know that things are being put into place. The Federal Reserve, which is basically 8 to 10, 12 banks that are international banks, are running this government, the financial policies of this government. So our people that are in office in this land are nothing but puppets. They are basically there for show. If you're a president and you don't really run the financial policy of your country, but it's being run by international bankers, then you're nothing more than just there for social purposes, like the King and Queen of England. They have no real power. They're just there for the social side of the people. And so they're there, and you see our Congress, they're not there to put in strong financial plans. They're only there to bring in laws of doing and laws of getting along and social kind of laws and things like that. There's no real real strength of effort. There's no real running a government involved. We find in Daniel 12, in verse 1 to 10, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Well, that's wonderful to know. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end, for many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, that which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, and times, that's two, so one plus two, and a half. So it shall be for 3.5. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So we're talking about a 3-year period here. And I heard that, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolation set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That's, again, 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And remember now that the Gentile dispensation came in with Daniel, and it goes out in, and then the tribulation, during the tribulation, it goes back to the Jews at that time. So we know that Jesus fulfilled 3.5 years of ministry, fulfilled one half of the 70 weeks of Daniel, and the tribulation shall be the other half, and God dealing directly with the Jews. Now, in Luke 21, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon and the stars. I've been reading much about these things, and it's very interesting to know that I believe it is next year. No, in a couple of years from now, there's going to be... well, there's only been, I think, 3 times in the past 2,000 years, there's only been 3 times that the moon has actually been blood red, and to where it appears blood. And that was, I'm trying to think when they were, when the Six-Day War took place in 1967, I believe it was in 48 when Israel was declared a nation. And then I believe it's going to be in the year 2012 and 13, something like that. So we find here, it says, and there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. That means hard times. And the seas and waves roaring. And we've seen huge tsunamis hit the Muslim parts of the world. I think it's quite interesting. Men's hearts will be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So many, many people are seeing these things coming on. They're fearful of them. And then shall be the sign of the coming of the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and great glory. We've seen that, and we're witness to that. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. And when they now shoot forth, you see and know of yourselves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see these things, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all trees. When they now shoot forth, you know, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts should be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. In other words, don't be so engrossed in pleasures of this day. You know, too many young people today are engrossed in, you know, they get bored very easy, and they want to do things, and they want to have excitement, and they want to do this. But he's saying that's not the spirit that's supposed to be on us in this hour. It should be sober. You know, it should be longing to get ourselves right before God, because we don't know how soon it is before he's going to take us. And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, that you may stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Now, what is the distress of nations? And why is it so perplexing? This is what we must know if we're to understand why everyone on earth is going to be affected. Because the Greek word here is sunoki, which means a narrowing or constraining or oppress, to hold together with constraint, to press on every side. Sounds like a squeeze to me. Like the forcing a ship into a narrow channel, or the forcing of an animal into a position where it cannot move so the farmer can administer medication. To impel. From this we can see that the whole world is being pushed or squeezed into a universal condition from all sides in order to receive the medication called the New World Order. And then we see that the world will be perplexed by a squeeze. And the word perplexed means that they are confused and don't understand what is really happening, and thus they begin to panic. And remember that Brother Branham said that the world must come into a neurotic condition, and the first stage of this neurosis is anxiety, which is to worry about what might happen. Luke 21:26 said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so we see the conditions coming, and I think we'll close at this point, but I want you to be looking at the headlines and looking at the things, and every time you see something, I want you to take it back to the scripture, because Brother Brown said the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. And so we have plenty of scripture telling us what is taking place. And, you know, the headlines I'm hearing, when I hear about frogs, frogs up to the knees basically coming out and just filling up places, frogs, they've never seen so many frogs, you know, just it reminds me of biblical times. And so we know that these could be the judgments which are in the earth. And remember that the sixth seal lasts right through the tribulation period. When the seventh seal takes place, that doesn't end the sixth seal. The seventh seal is something that is, by nature, it's a secret catching away. The seventh seal is only for the bride. The sixth seal takes the people right up through the tribulation and the end of the world. So those plagues have already begun. And we know that there was, with each church age and with each message that went forth, there's plagues to follow. And so we know that there are many things coming on the earth. They're already here. Maybe not in the volume that they shall be to be considered a plague or to be considered a dearth. But all it takes is one little prion in your brain working away for 10 to 60 years while it incubates and works away for you to have mad cow and for you to become a deranged, mentally deranged person and have no abilities, motor skills and things like that. So it doesn't take, you know, your whole brain filled with 10,000 prions. It takes one little prion that's the size of a pinprick, basically, or smaller than the head of a needle. And so I believe the judgments are in the earth. And as we look about, as they were in Moses' day, the elect was in Goshen. The judgments were all around them, but they were in the presence of the Lord. So We're thankful that the pillar of fire is still here. He is leading us to the millennium. But we need to be sober in this hour, and we need to be conscious of the day in which we live. It's not a time for rioting. It's not a time for, to be trying to escape the things by surfighting. And that doesn't mean, the word surfighting doesn't mean fighting. It means basically overindulgence. You know, people just going hog wild into things. And, you know, you look at how people could spend what I consider to be a good down payment on a house just for annual tickets to the Reds game or to the football games, and why people would spend their good hard earned money to watch a bunch of guys throwing a pigskin around. It just doesn't. I mean, I played football, and I couldn't understand back in those days how people would want to come and watch me, and yet I broke the school scoring records and stuff like that, but it didn't mean nothing to me outside of just doing it. But certainly some people are just over caught up into those kind of things. Like Michael Savage calls them the dumbed down people who are more interested in watching, sports and getting drunk and having a good time. And meanwhile, their country is being sacked, by the infidels, and they're losing all their rights. But when Nero was playing and everybody was having their fun, Rome was burning. So here we come again. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask you, Lord, to watch over us. Help us, Lord. Keep us and guide us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace for